With Chapter 7 of the Compendium, St. Thomas continues the project of finding out what is a first mover like. In Chapter 3, he demonstrated that there must exist a first mover, but is a first mover an angel? Is a first mover perhaps electrons? Is a first mover perhaps you or me? We have to dig into what is implied by the notion of first mover before we can really get traction towards talking about the God that we worship. Now, so far, St. Thomas has said that the first mover is, well, obviously, first. He has said that the first mover is immobile. He has said that the first mover has a necessary kind of being. Now he adds one more statement. A first mover always exists, or exists forever. It's pretty easy to get to that point. The arguments are not hard. But I want you to notice something about how St. Thomas proceeds here. He doesn't use just one argument to nail down his conclusion. A first mover is the kind of thing that always exists. He uses every one of the things he has previously said about the first mover to show this new conclusion. In other words, he comes at the same conclusion from multiple different angles. He gives you one argument, and then he gives you another argument, and then he gives you another argument. Why does he do that? Because, after all, the first argument seems like a surefire demonstration. Well, St. Thomas is not only worried about setting up a Euclidean system of demonstration in which each claim made has been justified by an argument before it. He also wants to make sure that we actually understand. And the reality is, we're getting into territory that is very difficult for the human mind to understand. So he knows it's going to be helpful to give us the same claim from as many angles as he can provide. Even if one of the arguments is sort of considered in itself sufficient for proof, you or I might be left in doubt. Maybe the argument is demonstrative, but my grasp of it, I don't know. So how about another angle? How about another angle? How about another angle? His goal is not simply to get you and me to admit that this proposition is true. His goal is to get you and me to understand what the proposition really means, to see it. And so he'll set his conclusion in the middle of the room like a statue, and then he'll walk around it, seeing it from various angles, so that by the time he's done arguing, we not only sort of have been forced into granting him this new claim, but we're also, we've also, so to speak, wrapped our minds around it. It has sunk into our intellects.